Dear Heavenly Gracious God, we thank you for who you are and who you continue to be in each of our lives. Forgive us for each and every known sin, words, thoughts, or deeds that we've committed against you and anyone else. As we enter the message, we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to take it and make it real. Help us to understand your word, your word, your word. Help us to understand your role in our life, our Savior's role, the Holy Spirit of God's role. May we clearly see, stay the hand of the devil, the flesh, and the world system. In Jesus' name we ask you and thank you. Amen. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gearing Kantz. Thank you for joining. You didn't tune in by accident. And I know you tuned in last week. And this is a continuation and a continuation because we're talking about God and his return and more topics. And we left off where we wanted to pose a question, you know, how is God going to show himself? And we were in the second psalm. And remember what the word talking about? Not Gary, not your pastor, not your rabbi, your priest, your human teacher, the word of God. Hear what the heathen are saying. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And the question you got to ask and answer, what are some of the bands that God has put on the human family? You know, marriage is one. And you know, we're talking about relationships on Wednesday. But you know, each time God has blessed me to be able to present whatever message to you or topic, do you notice it always involves some form of relationship with somebody? Do you notice that? But marriage is one. God has made marriage for the welfare of humans. It doesn't make a difference whether you're a believer of the household of faith or not. God has provided marriage to humans. If you look around, because I know that's what we're doing, do you notice how whoever comes to your heart and mind, whatever comes to your heart and mind, but they're not only wanting to try to get rid of marriage, that they're getting rid of it. Do you notice that? And the word is letting it known very clearly. They say, let's break their bands asunder. Also, let's cast away their cords from us. Do you notice how the word lets it be known how the Ten Commandments are cords, C-O-R-D-S? And so when you hear people say that they don't need the Ten Commandments, they're wrong. What they're saying is that somehow or another, that which is a restraint for them is not necessary. But, you know, and somehow or another, and those who are trying to keep them and live by them are also of the mistake that somehow or another that we're not saved by keeping them. And you know what you're going to find out? I know you're still listening. We're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. When was the last time you tried doing it? And when you tried, guess what you learned? You know it's true if you're going to be true. It didn't work. But God gave them, and he also gave them to protect, guess who? All humans on the planet. But guess what? The humans threw them out. And so when you look around, I know you are in your country. Don't get caught up in my country, in your country. Don't get caught up in somebody else's country and your country. Oh, and by the way, in my country, guess what? Look at all of that lawlessness, that the crime going on. You can say what you want. Look at all the crime. You got people not coming out of their homes. People leaving cities and states, and you're trying to tell them the reason why, and they know why they're doing it. Crime isn't being addressed. Real crime. You know, innocent lives are being lost. You know, you're living in a day. You know you are, you know, you're listening to people and their philosophy. But the word lets us know Let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. You know, the people run around, they want to be free and do as they please. But guess what? God says, you're not going to make it that way. It's not going to work. And the reason why he's letting it be known that it's not going to work because of our old evil nature. I know there are those of you running around, got your hand all up, excuse me, trying to pretend like you're good when the word of God said you're not. I remember when starting out on the missionary journey and God making it clear, who gave me the right that when I met people, I automatically said they were good? Where's that in the word of God that you and I are good? We have evil natures that need to be restrained. But you notice when you look around, that little old man is moving toward trying to get rid of all the restraints today. Look around in this world that you and I are living in. And those of you who are all into the political world, look at that confusion. And those of you who think you got it going on, trying to act like that you're better than this person, better than that person, you don't do this, you don't do that. Look where all that corruption is in the moral realm. And then when you get into the spiritual sphere, there's compromise and indifference. Oh, I'm not going to leave out the social sphere. There's too much comfort. And you notice how the influence society is trying to make it easier for themselves. So here you got God the Father. And the question is, how does God feel about all this that he sees? Do you think our loving God is just looking down here at this little earth that he created from his throne and everything is not under his control? Do you really believe that? Do you? God is not bothered. God is going on with his plan and his program. Do you notice how the fourth verse of the second psalm, that all of a sudden the camera's on earth, all of a sudden it goes off because the camera's now in heaven? And the word lets us know that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And you got to ask the question, what kind of laughter are we talking about? You know it's not the laughter of humor. I know there are those of you who always want to laugh, but it's not funny. God's not trying to be funny. Don't misunderstand, because in the Word, there's humor in the Bible. Like I always tell the story that I remember if God led me to go to the right, I'm way over here on the left, and I know that God looked at the Son and the Holy Spirit saying something wrong with Gary. We told him to be over here. He's over there. There's humor in the Bible. It ain't funny. Some things that we're doing. But the devil has made people think that, like when you go to your place of worship, it's time to go. Oh, there's something negative about it. And so today you're living in a time when people think you can't even have fun when you go to your place of worship. But the word of God is full of humor. God has a sense of humor. And believer of the household of faith, are you walking around always with a glum look, all, face all upside down, all serious? You know, my staff would always say, for those who are not professionally, that I was really a funny guy, a guy with laughter and humor, but the roles, R-O-L-E, the responsibilities were serious. There's humor in this word. Look at the animals that God has made. Look at them, the ones that you like, irrespective of where they are. And you know that our loving God had to have a sense of humor to make some of them as he made them. God has a sense of humor. Now, go away from the animal world. Look in the mirror. Oh, you don't have one with you? Oh, well, go find a mirror. And when you look in, you see how God has a sense of humor because he made the lot of you and I. But when you look at God's laughter in the second psalm, it's not that of humor. He's sitting in the heavens. And the word lets us know that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. But what is it? And you got to look at it from God's point, not yours, not mine. Here you got little old men and women, little old women and men down here on earth trying to shake their little old tiny fists in heaven's face, talking about, come on out, and I'm going to fight you because I'm against you, God. And here you got our loving God, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, looking down at the little old creature that he made and laughs. The word says that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. It's crazy. Look around, and it's unwise to oppose the living and true God. And verse 5 says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Do you notice this is the judgment that's coming upon this little earth? Do you notice how God is going to go forward to the accomplishment of his purpose? So think about what little old man is doing down here. It doesn't make a difference what you're doing or you or you or you. It's not going to deter God. It's not going to detour God. It's not going to defer God because God didn't read or hear some news that he didn't already know. There's nothing going on around this globe. In your country, your country, your country, your village, your province, your state, your city, your neighborhood, your home, or inside of you and me too. There's nothing that's surprising him. Because our loving God is moving according to his purpose, not yours, not mine. And I think he has a twofold purpose in this world. Think about it, a heavenly purpose and an earthly purpose. And if you look out, I know you are, you notice he's working on his heavenly purpose. Do you notice when you get into the word that the writer to the Hebrews over in chapter 2, verse 10, do you notice what it's saying? I know you turn. He is bringing many sons unto glory. Do you notice how God is calling out of this world today a people to his name? Do you notice that's what's going on? Are you paying attention? Why aren't you paying attention to the leader of the house of faith? Are you so caught up in everything you want to do? Are you so caught up in what somebody else wants you to know about and be about and all of that rather than what God would have you be about? God has another purpose. And you notice what he's saying when you go back to Psalm verse 6 of chapter 2. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Do you notice how God is moving forward today unhesitantly? Do you notice how he's doing it not from a compromise standpoint to the establishment of the throne on which our Savior is going to sit on this earth? And so when people run around talking about if the Lord delay his coming, he's not delaying anything. Schedule. And his schedule is not your schedule. Oh, wait a minute, your schedule. Wait a minute, don't be hiding over there. Your schedule or mine. I don't know when he's coming because he's on his schedule and nothing's going to stop him. And guess what? And nothing can cause him to change his plan. And since we're talking about God the Son, now the camera in heaven shifts to God, the Son on his right hand. Do you notice what the word is saying? I will declare the decree. And those of you much smarter than me that study theology know that the Lord Jesus Christ executes all the decrees of God. Do you remember that? Because when you look at verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord have said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. You know, this verse right here, and I know those of you who study from a theological standpoint, remember that this verse is one that a religious group out there use. Maybe it's your group. And it has no reference to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at the New Testament, the Spirit of God is making it clear. Because when you look at this verse, it was quoted by the Apostle Paul. And when you look at the Apostle Paul and what he quoted, it's when he preached in Antioch of Pisidia. And he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you notice how God, not you, pastor behind the pulpit or whoever else. He knows how God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he had raised up Jesus again. And when you look at it written in the second Psalm, again, do you know that thou art my son? Today have I forgotten thee. Oh, but did you turn over to Acts chapter 13, verse 33? I know you didn't. Go ahead and write it down. Now I'm pausing. Now I know you know what I'm going to do. I already had my coffee. Now it's my water. Next is my orange juice. Excuse me. The reference in the second Psalm is not to the birth of Jesus. Because when you look at the word, you notice how he never was begotten in the sense of having a beginning? Because he's the eternal Son of God, and God the Father is the eternal Father. They had no beginning. Do you notice that when you look at the word, how you can see that they were here throughout eternity? And this is their position in the Trinity. You know, think about it. You got this bad example. In your family, you got five people in your family, three people in your family, 1,000 people in your persons in your family, but one family. It has nothing to do with somebody being born, but it does have something to do with somebody being begotten from the dead, because it has to do with resurrection. You notice how the New Testament makes it very, very clear that Jesus Christ is not a creature? Do you notice that? Do you notice how it's making it clear that he's the God-man? And over in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, do you notice how this sustains this doctrine? Do you notice that? So you got God the Father continuing, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And we talked about that last week. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, verse 8. Do you notice how the scepter of this universe is going to be held by a man with nail-pierced hands? Because he's the one who's yet to rule. And while I'm thinking about it, and you know it's true, those of you who are out there on the missionary sojourn and going to these conferences, do you notice how this verse is a lot of times used on those conferences? And it has nothing to do with anything dealing with missions. Look at the next verse that follows it, verse 9 of Psalm chapter 2. I know you're still there. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You think this is the gospel, the grace of God that you and I are to preach today? It's not. When you look at it, you recognize that this passage hasn't any reference to Christ's first coming. Because this is talking about his second coming when he comes to this earth to judge. That's the way he's going to come. Oh, you thought he was coming for another reason? Wait a minute, let's break it down. I know you're ready. He's coming to judge the earth. And do you know what else? Do you notice that he's not asked me or you or me to apologize for him? Because he says that he intends to come to this little old planet and put down all this rebellion that you're looking at around the globe that keeps breaking out, and he's going to break them with the rod of iron. And maybe you don't like that. Oh, and you don't like it? Oh, now your chest is all out, and you don't like it. Well, guess who you got to take it up with? God, the Son, because he said it. And he's going to do it just that way. And so the question is, I know you're asking it, what if our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came back to this earth tomorrow like he did 2,000 years ago? You know, the man of Galilee, the carpenter of Nazareth, the gentle Jesus. What if he came to your country, or mine, and knocked at the door of whoever comes to your heart and mind, especially your political leaders? And he let them know, hey, I'm Jesus and I'm here to take over. You think they're going to let him take over? You think they're going to let him know that they've been waiting for him? No, they're going to try to do everything to get rid of him, try to put him in jail if they could. But he's clear in his word. He's going to have to break them with a rod of iron. And that's what he's going to do. But what if he went to the religious leaders in your country, or maybe with you? You name them. And our Lord told them that he was there to take over. You know what they were telling? They didn't need him. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. What if he came to your country or your country or your country or mine? My brother's household of faith, and those of you who don't know him who died for you, when he comes the second time, he will come exactly as God said, thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And you know what? He intends to do just that. He's going to put down that rebellion that's going on around this globe when it comes to the earth the next time. Think about it. You think about the type of thinking that's going on, that our God is not going to judge. You and I are living in a world, look around, that's moving toward judgment day. And God is going to judge. The next time, the next time, the next time. I know you're keeping up. We're going to look at God, the Holy Spirit. So go ahead and read ahead to verses 10 and 11 of Psalms chapter 2, because that's where we'll be the next time.